Hello and welcome to the Experience Points Podcast, episode number 76 for May 12th, 2010.
The Experience Points Podcast. I'm Scott Juster.
I'm George Albor.
We're the co-creators of experiencepoints.blogspot.com, a website we created and dedicated to the serious but not humorless analysis of games and culture. And this week, happy campers, get ready. Get your walking sticks in order.
You're singing songs.
Little scarves, maybe. Yeah. We're going out to the digital wilderness. We're going to earn ourselves a merit badge.
Hell yeah.
For those of you who don't live in the United States, you probably actually have something similar to this. Boy Scouts.
The scouting movement,
I guess. The worldwide scouting movement.
In our research for this podcast, I learned that the scouting movement is huge.
Yeah. I mean, in America alone, there's evidently millions and millions of kids. I mean, what did they say, like 4 or 5 million or something like that?
I feel surrounded already.
Yeah. And so it's young kids, and they have formed this private organization that basically teaches, well...
And it's religious in nature, right?
Yeah, pretty much. And also, I mean, it has, you know, its antecedents in a more outdoorsy culture, right? You know, learning how to light a fire or you know, track animals or learning how to use a boat or something like that.
Yeah, like shooting archery, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
But in the modern world, the Boy Scouts have expanded to incorporate computers...
Trucking. Motorboating, my personal favorite.
They also have a younger organization for kids that aren't quite old enough to be regular Boy Scouts. And I'm assuming, gosh, I don't really know the official years, but it's more like early grade school
kids.
Yeah,
something like 5 to 11, yeah. I think.
And these are Cub Scouts. And they also have, you know, little merit badges and tasks that they have to do. One of these is a video game merit badge.
Which is very new. This is only, I think, like last month that they added this video game badge.
Yeah. Like any other merit badge, you're tested on a certain number of things that you have to do in order to earn this badge and sew it onto your little vest or whatever.
Yeah. So we thought we would go ahead and go through the list, talk a little bit about the badge.
Yeah.
And, you know, our thoughts on what we think about little kids playing games and getting honors for it.
See if we can earn this thing here.
Real quick, before we go, do you have any scouting experience?
Well, sometimes I play as an elf in various various MMOs.
I think that
or something.
Counts.
Yeah. No, I was never a Boy Scout, Cub Scout, no nothing. Mm-hmm. You?
I went to camp once.
Yeah.
I had a friend who was into Boy Scouts, like a lot. He was like an Eagle Scout, and it was always a little weird.
An Eagle Scout is the highest scout.
Yeah, and I went to one of the events, and it's like a very tight-knit group.
Yeah.
And it's all very, like, moral and good. Like, parents are there all the time.
Oh, yeah.
At least in my mind. I'm sure that there are some crazy Kager Boy Scout stories people can tell us in the comments section, but...
Yeah.
From what I know, it's generally, you know, really clean cut.
Yeah, it's kind of a Norman Rockwell style image that they're going for.
I think these days it's seen as pretty nerdy. Like, getting a merit badge is like the geekiest thing you could do, right?
Yeah, yeah. And then you know, just proudly display it in your short shorts and you know,
oh, yeah,
hat
your khaki
whatever.
Short shorts, yeah.
So, again, we don't really know what the difference between a belt loop and an academic pin is, but evidently these are two separate things.
I'm still confused about what they're scouting for.
Yeah, we put the link up on the website, so I highly recommend that you click through and take a look at it. We're going to go with the academics pin because it seems more rigorous. There's 9 things, right?
Yes, 9 requirements, of which you have to complete 5.
5 of these 9 requirements to get your merit badge in video games. Okay, so number 1, with your parents... Create a plan to buy a video game that is right for your age group.
Okay, what would we plan for?
Well, I'd plan to try to get my parents to spend money on the most expensive game
possible.
Okay,
so that's your plan, right?
Yeah.
Like you take these little kids and you go, okay, this is going to be a way for these kids to spend some money.
Yeah.
And
we're
going to make a plan like, oh, Jamie's going to save up $10 every week.
Yeah.
I could see that. I think that's kind of a clever idea.
Okay.
This is really just a lesson about spending, right?
But it's also kind of interesting that they say a video game that is right for your age group. So are they trying to make the kids look at themselves as, you know, okay, I need to buy an E for Everyone game or a... you know, maybe I can handle a tea or something. Or are these going to be, or are these people going to be, are these kids going to just try to, like, fool their folks into thinking that, you know.
I mean, okay, so one of the belt loop things says that you need to explain why it's important to have a rating system for video games.
Yeah.
So I think they're just asking kids to say, you know, learn to categorize themselves.
Yeah.
You are, you know, E for everyone age.
Huh. Okay, so these are kids that are... this is weird because I am not really, you know, I don't want a little kid playing super violent games, but it's also weird to kind of pick one that is right for your age group. It is a little strange to me. Like, would you do this with books? Like, if a kid picked up a certain book or something, would you prevent them from reading it? I don't know. Like, one time in grade school, they were trying to limit what books we could pick out from the library based on what sections they were. And my dad...
Oh, so they were going to have, like, a kid section.
Yeah, exactly. And my dad was like, no, that's... I don't...
It's censorship.
That's, you know, you can handle whatever. And had to, like, write a note to the librarian that said that I could pick out a book from whatever section.
Well, I don't know why your high school, you know, staff...
It was grade school. I was young.
So why'd they have Playboys there then?
No, they had stuff exactly like... You know, Jurassic Park or something, which like kind of a violent book. But yeah. I mean, like, you know, I could read and everything. And I don't know. It's just... And I'm not saying it's the same thing, but it's still kind of weird that you're setting kids up to think of themselves as someone that might not be able to handle something rather than an adult just telling them that.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know if it's a bad or good thing, but
I think it's taking it for granted, right? Like it's saying that there are games out there that are inappropriate for you. And now you need to go to your parents, or, I mean, if you don't have parents, I guess your guardian,
maybe scout leader or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
And figure out, you know, what's a good game for you. Yeah. But at the same time, it kind of bolsters the ESRB, right? Hey. Now they can say, hey, the Boy Scout sees us as legitimate, even though we're a private
organization. I'm sure they're happy with that. I'm sure they're happy.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay, so number two possible requirement, compare two game systems, for example, Microsoft Xbox, Sony PlayStation, Nintendo Wii, and so on. Explain some of the differences between the two. List good reasons to purchase or use a game system.
Okay, I don't think that the person who designed this requirement plays video games.
How come?
Well, they say Microsoft Xbox and Sony PlayStation, but those aren't really... I mean, you're going to have to... Are we talking PS3?
Well,
we're
talking PS2? I mean, you know...
This... Yeah, I know. Sure, maybe they're fitting.
Hey, that's
here.
What you have to get
they
the merit
badge
for.
They said specifically Nintendo Wii. Well, exactly. But what is the purpose of this?
Well, when you know, when you have the merit badge, you know, my friend, that there are three different PlayStations.
Yeah, oh, sure. What is the... What use is that?
Like, well, I think this one is useful because... When I decided to buy a PlayStation, I kind of did something like this. I looked at all of the systems, and, you know, it could teach kids to look at, to do product research and be, like, savvy consumers. Like, what is the better deal? To get a huge hard drive or to buy one without a hard drive and buy a hard drive on an aftermarket thing?
Right. It's teaching how to be a good consumer.
Yeah.
Sure, that's great. You know, I don't know. Overconsumption? Yeah, differences, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Are we going to start breeding little...
No, this is the future of Flame Wars, though.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, right? Little Jimmy, you know, he's trying to convince his parents that Nintendo Wii is the way to go.
Yeah.
And what exactly... I mean, we're talking 5 to 11 here, right? What is going to be figuring into this test?
I mean, I don't know. I think you were probably pretty savvy when you were a kid about what you wanted. Like,
I wanted.
You knew,
like,
the difference between a Genesis and a Super Nintendo.
Yeah, but I also knew the difference between certain games and what my friends had. And I'd say, I want this one because it's more expensive. Mm-hmm. My friends don't have it, and it has this one particular game I want to play.
Well, maybe that's why this category is good, because it'll, like, rather than a keeping up with the Joneses, it's like appraising the products as products rather than social pressures.
I guess, but are these judged? Like, is there an arbiter?
Well,
consultant?
The leader. I mean, you know, the Cub Scout leader.
Look, if you're a Cub Scout leader...
The den leader? The pack leader, I believe?
I wonder how many pack leaders actually play video games. Well, they can spend this much time in Boy Scouts.
That's a good segue into the third academics, which is...
Play a video game with family members in a family tournament.
Yeah. Mortal Kombat.
This is a really funny one, because... I had great times playing with family members. Yeah. I think it's a really clever idea to start incorporating video games into children's lives, but that does not exclude
people. Yeah, it just doesn't shut them off. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. However, you know, they might want to add a little thing at the end that says, and don't kill your sister.
Well, I mean, I think this requirement is easier now, more so than ever before. Because I remember, you know, every once in a while we go... home to our folks. Just this past Christmas, we were all playing Boom Blocks together. And it would be impossible for my folks or you know, the older folks in my family to play, like, GoldenEye together, you know, in the Christmases of the 90s. But now it's easier. Like, the barrier to entry is such that you can actually do this.
Yeah.
And so you can actually get to, you can actually spend family time rather than yelling at your family to, like, use this control stick rather than the pad, you know?
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Yeah. Which, incidentally, goes into the fourth one.
Yeah.
Which is, teach an adult or a friend how to play a video game.
Yeah.
I think that's got to be the coolest one out there. It's really kind of hard to get people into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so to say, as one of the things is you want to spread your love of video games. Mm-hmm. I'm presuming that the only Cub Scouts going after this badge are Cub Scouts who already enjoy games.
Yeah, they're most likely not starting from square one, right, and like building up their love.
So really, they're teaching themselves and others the joy of it.
And it's also cool because I feel like a lot of the other badges, you know, learn how to ride a horse or, you know, use a gun or something like that.
Yeah.
They are just the students, and this one they're the teachers, and that's always neat for a kid to be able to teach something, because kids can so rarely teach adults other things.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And it feels. I remember even as a kid knowing that I could play games better than some of my family members was really encouraging and really helped me shape a sense of personal identity.
Yeah, yeah, and which goes into the next one, number five. List at least 5 tips that would help someone who is learning how to play your favorite video game. So I think that's good, especially in light of the recent podcast we did about the couple who got in a fight over Little Big Planet.
Yeah.
Because she wasn't very used to playing games and he was really used to playing them. It's hard to teach someone something, I think, without being overly didactic.
Yeah, especially as a kid.
Yeah, because you're a know-it-all. You're a little snot, and you know you think you're all cool.
You're a punk kid.
Yeah.
Stop kidding yourself.
Yeah.
In fact, if you were between the ages of 5 and 11, what are you doing listening to this podcast?
Go teach someone to play a video game.
It says explicit right there.
I think this is cool because it's hard to teach things without coming off as a know-it-all,
totally.
I think. Yeah.
I like that they specify your favorite video game. Because what if it, you know, maybe you're, okay, sure, you probably shouldn't be playing Gears of War.
Yeah.
In fact, this might contradict with the first rule.
Yeah.
You know, because what if your favorite video game is not family friendly?
Yeah.
Just saying. If that's the case, you know, it's a single player game, you might want to teach someone a single player game.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of cool.
Since they say list 5 tips, I think it's a good way of preventing just one person holding the controller the whole time. Because it's 5 things. You know, I'm going to give you 5 tips and you're going to try to play this game now. And so there's still at least some learning happening on the other end, but you at least get to, you know, give them your 5 pro tips.
Right.
Okay, so number 6.
So after you've taught your friend how to play your favorite video game, the next one is play an appropriate video game with a friend for 1 hour.
Mm-hmm.
Appropriate presumably being appropriate for your age group.
And friend.
And your friend's age group. That's, what if you have a friend who's much older or younger?
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-oh. Danger.
So, see, this merit badge is a little bit tougher than we thought,
right? This is hard. And only 1 hour.
See, that's the thing. It doesn't specify.
You think it's like at least 1 hour?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. I mean, to really play a game for a full hour straight with someone, like, it doesn't sound like a lot, you know, to us just sitting here, but an hour is kind of a long time, especially if someone doesn't play games all that often.
Yeah, and knowing kids' short attention spans.
Yeah. But, I mean, again, maybe the 1 hour is a ceiling, and they don't want you spending the whole afternoon playing games.
I think that's more likely.
When you should be earning your walking a lady across the street merit badge.
It's also a single video game. So, I mean, once you put it in, you're committing.
Well, I like that idea because you have to delve into one game.
Right.
Yeah.
You're teaching little kids to be better gamers.
Yeah.
Not just better people. Better gamers.
You don't want to like jump around from game to game after like, oh, this is boring. Jump like at least an hour. Figure this out for a little bit at least. All right. So number 7. Play a video game that will help you practice your math spelling or another skill that helps you in your schoolwork.
I think this is probably the most skipped possibility, the skipped requirement of any of the others.
I also think it's probably one of the most misunderstood requirements because just because you're not playing Math Blaster doesn't mean you're not thinking about math.
Oh, that's a good point.
I mean, we talk about this a lot, like the pedagogical benefits of video games. And, you know, we just read an article in The Escapist about some guy teaching himself English by playing Final Fantasy. He had a dictionary on his lap while he was playing Final Fantasy.
Right.
So, you know, maybe it's not, you know, a Rosetta program or something, but it probably helped him more than a lot of his other classes that he took for that.
Sure. But, I mean, in terms of math, spelling, I mean, I guess if you're some French Canadian who can't speak English, sure. But it specifically says it has to help you in your schoolwork.
Yeah.
You're going to have to convince your mom that, you know, playing...
Well, yeah.
You know, look, Mom, there are 5 locusts. I've chainsawed 2 locusts. There are only 3 locusts left. You can prove it. You could even say, look, Marcus says 1 dead grub. He's counting.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty tough sell for kids. It's a tough sell for us. And, you know, we dedicate our time to a video game website about it. So that's a pretty rough one. Let's be honest. They'll be stuck with Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego for this one.
Which, to be fair, is pretty awesome.
Yeah, well, you know.
And Math Blast.
You could be a lot worse. I mean, you could be like Mario Lost in Time or whatever. Yeah. Oh, God. Okay, so number 8.
Choose a game you might like to purchase, compare the price for this game at 3 different stores, decide which store has the best deal, and in your decision, be sure to consider things like the store return policy and manufacturer's warranty.
This is a loaded one, man.
This is, yeah. Definitely.
Because where do we even start? Like, first of all, if it's a new game, your options are limited, right? As far as price, yeah, you can find maybe a little bit of pricing variance.
That's true. They don't talk about, you know, what are the ethics of new games versus used games.
And what are, and you know, manufacturer's warranty. Like, that stuff's all garbage. Like, there's not really manufacturer's warranty for games. I mean, you know,
But there's GameStop. They'll gladly take your game back if you spend $50 and extra.
Exactly. And that's the thing where I hope that you really need someone who is already playing video games and knows the ins and outs of a place like GameStop, because that is it's an important rule. You know, this is an important lesson to learn. And I think if more people learned it, we wouldn't have as many problems with GameStop as we have right now.
And then who's to say, you know, what if the game you're interested in buying is a downloadable game or an Xbox Live game? Yep. Or what about the difference in terms of, because this is clearly supposed to teach you value.
Or what if it's a Steam game or a box game?
Yeah.
What do you buy and why?
Or what if you'd rather just spend $10 on Xbox Live points?
Mm-hmm. And then possibly save it for later on.
And this is the kind of thing that gets me with Boy Scouts in general, is so much of it is ways to teach kids the status quo. This is how things work in a very broader sense, and we're going to be teaching you what's morally right, normatively.
Yeah.
Normatively right.
Yeah. Yeah,
in terms
of
morals.
Sure, and with a precedent, basically.
Right.
But with stuff like Steam, I think this is a good opportunity to get kids thinking about, you know, Steam could easily be a lot cheaper, over 50%, over 75% cheaper. But you'll have to instill in kids what it means to buy something digitally versus a CD, or, you know, what it means to have a possible rootkit being installed in your PC, you know, when you buy something.
Okay,
like
little
that.
Jimmy, listen, the EA terms of use service, terrible.
You don't actually own this game.
Yeah, you realize they can delete this whenever they want, right?
You just purchased a license to this.
Mommy, I just want to play Mad Blasters. Yeah, no, it's awful.
I mean, I think it would be neat to teach kids a little bit about how the business actually works of selling games, what the ethics are about renting them, you know, what the ethics are about reselling them back or trading. Like,
yeah, maybe.
Who owns what? Like, is it ethical to trade your games? I mean, the companies might say no, but, you know, it doesn't seem like
it seems like they're encouraging thriftiness.
Exactly. And so it just has these conversations with kids. And I don't know, I think it's good for them to start thinking about this. I'm just afraid that, like you were saying, it might just turn into like, well, it's $59.95 at GameStop, but it's $59.99 at Game Crazy. You know, like, I don't know.
I mean, they are little kids, so I guess I understand that why they wouldn't want to jump into that.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, the Boy Scouts, which is, again, the older version of the Scouts, don't have any video game badges. Maybe they should have a video game industry badge. They have, like, they have other, like, smelting and stuff. They've got all sorts of weird...
You get your crunch.
Business.
You get your crunch badge.
Exactly.
All right. So number 9, the final one for your game academics pin. With an adult's supervision, install a gaming system.
I think this is probably the most useful requirement.
As far as playing games.
Well, I mean, as far as teaching a basic skill at a young age, like how to be technically savvy. And I think this is what the video game badge is trying to do in the first place, right?
Yeah.
To some extent, they're teaching children how to handle technology and incorporate it into their day-to-day lives without it ruining all their other Boy Scout shooting at fish thing.
Like, have an ownership over it. Like, I'm sure there's plenty of people who don't know the difference, who probably even have an HDTV and don't even know the difference between like a composite and component cables.
Right.
And it's like, well, you could use the composite ones, but you should really not.
Yeah.
And you'll get your money's worth if you don't use them, you know, right. You should use something else. And so I think that's neat that they learn more about the thing that they bought. And also, you know, it's good to be able to put something together yourself and kind of troubleshoot it. Plus, you know, your parents won't be able to put together that video game system for you. They're going to get so seriously. Complicated. Like,
frankly, a lot of the kids, especially the ones who already play video games, if they're in the older side of the Cub Scouts, this is going to be helpful for their parents.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, so, they're going to call them in.
I mean, to take a broader look at it, right?
Yeah.
It's actually kind of a cool thing. I like that they have the adult aspects to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, some of these kids who know their stuff about video games already are now just adding them into their relationships with their parents.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts, that's what it's about. You know, building relationships between people in the first place.
Sure. And, you know, letting people take turns learning and teaching. And just, you know, give people a little bit more ownership over the daily things they use in their lives. Right. I mean, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it makes a bigger impact in my life to know how to set up a video game system than it does to, like, know how to shoot a bow and arrow.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, like, it makes more sense on a practical level. Because
you haven't
level.
Been attacked by cowboys yet.
Well, so. Maybe I'll just surround myself with Boy Scouts.
You know, Zelda fires an arrow. That probably helps.
Well, I used the Wii Fit Plus. I mean, sorry, the Wii Motion Plus. That's almost the same thing.
So, in your mind, do you think that this is a... Do you think this marks the acceptance of video games in some way into general popular consciousness?
Yeah, yeah.
Or do you think that this is just the Boy Scouts desperately trying to cling on to...
Oh, it should be relevant. Because
I can't imagine the Cub Scouts as a very large growing organization.
Well, maybe they are. I don't know. I mean, they're still pretty powerful, and they are very protective of their membership, and, you know, they have...
Yeah, there was a recent fiasco about homosexuals.
Yeah, exactly. They do not let openly gay people in the Scouts.
Period.
Yeah. And, you know, their sister organization, the Girl Scouts, is a huge thing.
Yeah. And they don't even... They have different badges. It's completely gendered. Yeah,
exactly. And so, I mean, it's... I feel like we'll still be dealing with Scouts for quite some time. I don't know. Like, we kind of make light of this just because it's kind of funny the way that they, like, write everything out. But, I mean, a lot of these things, I think, are useful for kids, and it's nice to see them at least... because, you know, video games, like any other hobby, like movies or, you know, model train sets or anything, you could sink a lot of time in it, and after a while, you'll just be sinking the wrong kind of time in it.
Yeah,
you know, absolutely. You'll just be, like, whiling away the hours, you know, doing something that's not useful. And so this shows that even with a hobby that has the potential to waste some time, there's still a lot of stuff that you could get out of it.
I completely agree. I think it's a fantastic idea. Yeah. You know, kids are going to be playing these games anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is a way to teach them how to play games responsibly.
Yeah.
And to manage technology, you know. And if anything, there should be more things like this for badges. Be it, you know, they've got computers, but that's pretty broad.
Sure.
We could talk about, you know, internet use.
Yeah, or like evaluating use. Sources. Like if you put something into Google and what pops up first might not be the right answer.
Yeah,
it's hard
exactly.
to teach something like that.
Or, you know, internet conduct. You know, maybe we'd have less douche nozzles if we taught them at a young age.
Number 10 that I would add to this list is just online etiquette. Because we have a lot of problems, and it's not just young people, but a lot of it is young people. You know, it's crazy racial slurs and homophobia and stuff all over Xbox, and it definitely runs counter to the Scout oath.
Well, like, I don't know if the Boy Scouts would be best to be handling the homophobia.
Yeah, I guess you're right. But I mean, you know, online etiquette is something that should be added, I think, because video games are only going to be more online as we go forward.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah. I'm shocked, in fact, that now that you mentioned that online gaming isn't part of it.
Yeah, and also safety, too. You know, don't give your address out to people, you know, just, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, seriously. Oh, always put the Wiimote grip on you, you know.
Always with the strap.
Always with the strap.
All right, so I guess we'll wrap it up. We don't want to sit around all day. We gotta go up and light
get
some
a badge.
Fires.
Yeah, oh, totally.
Horse riding,
marshmallows?
Maybe? Oh, yeah, s'more making. S'more making, let's go.
I'm going motorboating tonight, so I don't know about you.
All right, so if you folks want to write in, any of you have scouting experience or maybe just something else about learning things about video games that aren't just about playing them, Feel free to write in. Our email address is experiencepoints@gmail.com.
Two things. One, if you are a Boy Scout or an Eagle Scout or someone who's deeply involved in the organization, I give you my complete apology right now. And secondly...
Seriously, you know more knots than I will ever know.
Absolutely. Secondly, if you're a parent and this seems like something that you might put your kid into and you think it's kind of interesting, and if you suddenly find the Boy Scouts more appealing, let us know in the comment section. You can check that out at the website experiencepoints.blogspot.com. We also update the site Monday, Wednesday, and Friday evening, so come on regularly and check us out.
All right. Take it easy.
Have fun. Bye.